We have here the effect of Peter's Pentecost speech. Huh? When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" These are the people who used to laugh at the apostles. Some of these are the people who were there the day they called for the crucifixion of Christ. And they've been so touched now. What are we supposed to do? Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Remember, this is Peter's Pentecost speech. "For the promise is made to you and to your children, and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." So, what Peter said cut them to the heart. And they said, "Well, what are we supposed to do?" "Be baptized." Now, our Lord instituted this himself, right? This mystery that being washed or plunged in water, in the name of the Trinity, with faith, gives you divine life. Quite remarkable, isn't it? To think of it. It's the simplest things. Bread, wine, water, oil. And they're taken up into the life of God, into the life we share, so that God can feed us, care for us, forgive us, and so forth. You see, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all who are far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. And he continued to preach and say, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Wow. Save yourself. But then, when you're strong and stand on a rock, go get them. Don't leave them out there. First, you got to have your own act together. But then, part of having your act together is to preach, to spread the word one way or the other. When I said that, I don't know why, it came to mind this woman in Steubenville, black woman, and she adopted, well, over her lifetime, maybe 40 or 50 kids. And she always had like 8 or 10 or 12 living with her in the slums of Steubenville. And she cared for them. She taught them. They were neglected. You know, they were just generated, given birth to, and then, and she picked them up, took care of them. And she taught them. She taught them the scriptures. She taught them their faith. And so she always had 10 or 12 kids in her house. And she's a widow. People started giving her money, and she was glad for that because she had to feed these kids. But you see what moved her? And she taught them the Bible. But she used to send them, devout Catholic, this woman, but she sent the kids for Bible study over to the Baptists because they do the Bible better than we do. And that would be. But that was this. She was touched by the Lord, and she just took care of people. And there's no way of knowing how many people in Steubenville, adults, business people, whoever they are now, started and were protected from a life of vice and a life of meaninglessness by this woman. And you see, that's an example of somebody who knew she was saved, isn't that the way they use that term? And she wanted to make sure there were others So her house was always full of kids. And when the neighbors caught on, they'd start, because this is a poor neighborhood, they'd slip her some food or maybe a couple of bucks or something to support this crowd that lived in her house. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's somebody touched by the Lord who does something. And then we have this story of Mary Magdalene. In John, the stories are stories of encounters. And so Mary, she's looking into the tomb. And these two angels say, "Why are you weeping?" "Because they have taken my Lord." Now, what an irony, huh? How can you take the Lord? I mean, if he's the Lord, you just don't take him and put him where you want him, you know? But they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where, and I will take him." And then Mary addresses her with her name, Miriam. And she sees who he is. And so she says, "Rabuni, my rabbi, my teacher." And she must have clung to his feet because he says, "Stop holding on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them." So she's the apostle to the apostles. They hear about the resurrection from Mary. Now what does she say? She says, "I have seen the Lord." When the church cannot say that, it's no longer church. I have seen the Lord. Do you have to have a vision? No, probably help, but no. But you've got to know Jesus and interact with him and repent to him and be forgiven by him and love him so that you can talk about him and tell people about him. And so that they could come. And that's why, you see, go to my brothers. They're not just my disciples anymore. See, there's such a bond. He's risen from the dead, and he's binding them to himself. Go tell my brothers. That's also, there's an allusion there to Psalm 22 at the end of that Passion Psalm, when it says, "I will declare your name to my brothers." So the first part of the psalm is at the cross, and the second part is here at the resurrection. You see, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And so then Mary goes, and she makes the Easter proclamation. I have seen the Lord. That's what we all have to be able to say. Does that mean we have a vision? No, it would help, I guess. But I know him. I know what he's done for me. I know who he is. And I want to tell you about him. I have seen the Lord. When the church can't say that, it's no longer church. Let me tell you about this great moral system and the great philosophy behind it. Oh, that's nice, but that's not the gospel. The gospel says, I have seen the Lord. And who is the Lord? This is Jesus, crucified, risen, present, here. I have seen the Lord.